We will hear from many guests this hour, and I hope from many of you, about yesterday's election results. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Are you crying or cheering this morning? Are you hopeful or fearful? Are you looking forward to or dreading new policies for the state of Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first of four guests in our post-election roundup this morning is Scott Manley. He's the Vice President of Government Relations for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Well, give me your reaction to the election results.
Well, from our perspective, it was a pretty compelling message from the voters that they want to see the continuation of the types of reforms that Governor Walker and the Republican legislature has enacted over the past 4 years. They gave Governor Walker a fairly large margin in the governor's race, and Republicans actually improved upon their majorities in both the Senate and the Assembly.
Yeah, and what did Governor Walker's administration do that was good for business?
Well, it was multiple things, Joy, and I think it begins with tax reform. Wisconsin continues to be in the top 10 highest tax states in the country, but it was over $2 billion worth of income and property tax cuts that were enacted during his first term. And then, of course, the reforms from Act 10 and the collective bargaining reforms have allowed state and local taxpayers to realize over $3 billion worth of savings there. So that certainly makes Wisconsin a more affordable place to live and to do business. But there were some other reforms like, legal reforms and regulatory reforms that were important as well. But I think the tax reforms probably stand out as the biggest accomplishment.
Yeah. So how come, Scott Manley, the state is not doing even better with all those reforms?
Well, if you look at it, I think the state is actually doing very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a situation where our unemployment rate is down below where it was before the recession. We're adding jobs. We've added over 100,000 jobs in the last 4 years. We're now fourth in the Midwest over the past year in job growth. We've got an economy that's got some very bright spots, manufacturing being one of them, Joy. We've seen a very significant rebound in manufacturing jobs, and those are really the bread and butter jobs, the family supporting staples of our economy that we frankly need. I mean, we see some job growth in some other states that may be a bit higher than in Wisconsin, but when you look at the fact that we're growing very high wage jobs like manufacturing jobs, that's a very good thing. I mean, manufacturing jobs typically pay between 30 to 50% higher than the average wage in Wisconsin. So, the fact that we continue to do well in that sector of our economy is, I think, a very promising bright spot for our state.
So what policies are you, WMC, calling for from the Republicans and from Governor Walker to pass when they come back next year?
Well, I think we would love to see the continuation of tax reform. We're very happy that the legislature was able to pass across the board income tax cuts for all tax filers and property tax cuts. But And that progress is great, but we really have a long way to go yet. We still remain, even with those tax cuts, in the top 10 highest tax states in the nation. And when we look at states that have the highest level of job growth, they're typically states that have a much lower income tax or in some cases not an income tax at all. So we hope to see more tax reform. I think there are regulatory reforms that we'd love to see, and one of those would be trying to align Wisconsin's family medical leave law with the federal law that President Clinton signed in 1993. That would be high on our priority list. Of course, the most important bill that will pass in the upcoming session, and probably in any session, is the state budget. And so we'd love to see the continuation of fiscal discipline and having a budget that balances without raising taxes like the governor's first two budgets. And as part of that, I think it's time for the state legislature to deal with the issue of transportation funding. And you know, voters overwhelmingly sent a message with the constitutional amendment that was ratified yesterday that the people place a high priority on having a strong, robust, well-maintained transportation infrastructure, and they don't, you know, they want to see, I think, a financially stable transportation fund, and I think it's time for the legislature to do that.
Voters in 13 municipalities or counties said yes to raising the minimum wage with advisory referendums yesterday. What about that? Should that happen anytime soon?
Well, I don't think it should, and I don't think it will. It's perhaps unsurprising that you see that result. When we did our own polling on the minimum wage, we asked if the minimum wage should be increased to $10.10 an hour from the current $7.25 an hour, as President Obama has been in favor of. And what we typically find, Joy, is that the public supports doing that. Our poll found that 53% of the public supported raising the minimum wage to that level, and 39% opposed. But then when we gave voters the piece of information that a recent study suggested that Wisconsin stands to lose more than 27,000 jobs if we raise the minimum wage, then the support for that issue drops pretty dramatically, and only 39% support raising the minimum wage. And so I think that's one of those issues that, is probably requires a fair amount more of public awareness in terms of what the economic impacts would be if that were to happen. Because I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand that raising the minimum wage will result in job loss.
Yeah. So just a recap from you. You're hopeful about the future of Wisconsin and its economy?
Absolutely. And our members are as well. They have been, over the past few years, thinking that probably at the level of 94, 95, 96% of our members say we're on the right track in Wisconsin from a public policy perspective. And we believe that will continue, and we're very bullish on the future of our state.
Thank you for being with us.
You bet. Thank you, Joy.
Scott Manley, Vice President of Government Relations for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll welcome in the Senate Minority Leader, Chris Larson. He's a Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee. Later in the hour, we'll welcome in Tommy Thompson, former Republican Governor of the state of Wisconsin. And still later, we will welcome in the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, or WEAC, the state's largest teachers union, Betsy Kippers. That's coming up a little bit later. But we want to get your reactions, too. How do you feel about the election results? What are your hopes or fears? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Julie in Balsam Lake is with us. Hello, Julie.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on, I was watching the national news, and they showed the map of Wisconsin, and they showed a lot of blue and a great deal of red. And I just wanted to make a comment on, I've heard a lot this morning about voting against the president or for whatever. This isn't about him. This is about the state of Wisconsin. And the vote was for who we wanted to be where he's at. And this goes back to the runoff election. It all goes back to everything else that's been going on the last 4 years. And I don't think you're going to see a huge change on any of that. I've just listened to talking about minimum wage increases and many other things. What we never hear, and I'd really love to hear this, is when you do those polls, who are you talking to? Because it's a big state, and all we really hear is very small amounts of very blue areas and Democratic areas. Yeah. And as a whole, it's a really big red state as of yesterday. I also want to make the comment on also that on the national news, one of the people that were interviewed as a political analyst said it too. All the states, when you look at the areas where it was blue or red, they're missing it. They're seeing very small concentrated areas, even in Georgia, which also went Republican. The predominant voting in the state, according to those maps, was red. And I think that that needs to be addressed. Quit looking at your small little areas and start looking at a bigger state picture as opposed to this little thing here.
I'm sorry, are you talking to Wisconsin Public Radio, or who needs to look at the whole state?
Wisconsin.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much, Julie. Jerry in Glendale. Hi, Jerry.
Oh, hi, Joy. Thanks much for taking my call. One of the concerns that I have about the results of last night's election is the effect that property taxpayers, I'm a property taxpayer in Glendale, Wisconsin, and there were referendums in school districts, in over half the school districts in the state of Wisconsin, to go beyond the caps that were imposed through Act 10 and the state legislature. So I firmly believe that as a property taxpayer, we are now, as property taxpayers, expected to make up for some of the fallout negative consequences of Act 10.
All right. Thank you very much, Jerry. We'll take more of your calls with your reactions to yesterday's election results. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Coming up, we'll welcome in Democratic State Senator Chris Larson. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is a post-election roundup. We are hearing from guests from different perspectives on the races for Wisconsin governor, attorney general, and other contests, and we are welcoming your reaction, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Not only getting your reaction, but talking about what now. What is it that you are looking forward to? What is it that you are concerned about as we move on in terms of state policy? Let's welcome in our next guest. Chris Larson is a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee and the Senate Minority Leader. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Joy.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Well, Governor Walker won by about a 5-point margin. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I wish Governor congratulations on his reelection and everybody who won for their elections yesterday. And it's always a big thing to step out there and put a person out there in today's politics and get out there, talk to voters, and subject yourself to some of the attacks and things that happen. So first, for both for winners and for those who lost yesterday, it's always a good thing that people are out there doing that. Beyond that, I think, it's pretty amazing, where Wisconsin is at in terms of the rest of the country, where there was obviously this national tide of Republicans winning across the country, where they took back the U.S. Senate for the first time in 8 years. I think a lot of people didn't expect that to happen. For Walker's victory, I think he worked retail politics, very well in just traveling around the state. I, among a lot of other people, criticize him for traveling out of state, traveling in state, and spending a lot of his time doing that. You don't really get a chance to govern and get to know a governor that way. But I think what he was doing is just building his name recognition in the state and out of state. And in the end, I think that ended up paying off in terms of how he was able to fundraise, so much money from outside of the state and bring that back here, and for people to at least know his name when they got into the polling booth because he had done stopovers there, flying in and flying out.
I should note that you you won your election yesterday. You beat Red Arnold, a Republican, with 60% of the vote. So congratulations! But a number of three districts that the Democrats wanted to take, they did not, including the 17th state Senate district, which is being held by Republican State Senator Dale Schultz right now, but Senator Schultz retiring. You endorsed Democrat Pat Bomhack very early in the race for the 17th state Senate district, and he came up short against Republican State Representative Howard Markline. What happened there?
Right. Well, I mean, Howard Markline was the first declared candidate for any state Senate seat in the entire state. And so he, being a state rep, also had a good base to draw from. And I think it's very telling that despite those huge advantages, that was the closest Democrats came to beating a Republican yesterday in a state Senate race, because the district ends up tilting Dem. Yeah, so you had Dale Schultz, who was speaking out against Howard Markline, and frankly, Howard Markline raised a historic amount of money and had, there was outside money, I think it topped over $1 million, trying to paint Howard Markline as being a moderate, or being even maybe left of a moderate, of being somebody who breaks with his party and steps out like Dale Schultz. And frankly, Joy, when you're able to spend that much money, you can pretend to be whatever you want to be. And in this case, he was able to do that successfully. That tide of cash was just tough to overcome. For folks in Madison, I'm sure they saw the ads running over a month before from WMC, you know, going after the Democrat Pat Bomhack in that race. So it's frustrating, and I think the big thing is, the big question is what folks are going to expect in return for that amount of money being spent, right? This is not people who are interested in generic civic engagement and just interested in, you know, participatory democracy. These are people who are writing checks. I'm sure you and your listeners will remember 2 years ago when it was revealed a $700,000 check was written by an out-of-state mining company to write the legislation it wanted so that it could have a mine up in North Woods, regardless of the impact on our water in our state. The question that people should be asking is, what are those donors going to be expecting now? What's their payoff? They spent $1 million. What are they going to try and get in return from taxpayers?
Yeah. Well, you now are the leader of a smaller minority in the state Senate. What's your hope or fear for the next legislative session, given your the Democrats' lack of power?
Well, we continue to try and reach out to our Republican colleagues to try and work with them. I think we are a purple state. We are not a red state or a blue state. And I think that if Republicans continue to be power hungry and let this go to their heads, it's going to come back and bite them. But let's be clear, both of these elections were not in isolation, citing 2010 and 2014 now. These are national tides. And if they try and cling to power or try and go a little bit too far, it'll swing back. And the state does go back and forth. These are midterms. It's not a life sentence. Things end up changing back and forth. We're going to continue to work with Republicans to try and figure out long-term solutions in a balanced approach. So I'd hope that they wouldn't continue to try and jerk the state over to the right, because we swing back. And we saw, we elected Tammy Baldwin just 2 years ago. So it'd be good if we can find that balance. And as the leader of the Dems, I'm going to encourage my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to try and do that.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Anytime.
Chris Larson, Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee and the Senate's minority leader. All right. What about you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are welcoming your reactions, your thoughts, your cheers, your jeers on about yesterday's election results. Emily in Richland Center is with us. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Joy. Thanks for having me on this morning. I basically just wanted to say, I'm going into this with the election speaking a little uncertain, and that's not a good going to have. I'm hoping that with the elections being over, that we can finally find some progress here in the state, and not just all the stalemates and the party issues. I'm in the insurance business, and I deal a lot with health insurance. So I've been dealing with a lot of questions and a lot of issues with people just being afraid of the future of their health care, their families, small business owners. And I really just want some answers from our state that I can give people and guide people with. And so that's what I'm hoping will come out of this, that we've made the decision, and now we can move on and actually get our hands dirty and get some work done.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Emily. But I'm curious, what do you need from the state leaders in with regards to your health insurance business?
Well, actually, what's really coming in between our side of the business is dealing with all the facts versus the fiction and the myths. There's been so many political scare tactics surrounding our new healthcare system, and I really just try to stress to my clients that this is a process, and just kind of trying to give them facts based on the legislation, the actual law itself, and not so much the political slants and things that are thrown at them. I don't know if politicians really realize how bombarding they are, and it has such a negative effect on moving forward for people making real life decisions.
Yes.
So I'd like to see some more progress with that.
All right. Thanks very much, Emily. Jessica in Fond du Lac is with us. Hello, Jessica.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yes. Thanks for calling. What are your thoughts or feelings this morning?
Well, I'm really disappointed, actually, about the turnout. I didn't think it would go that way. And I keep hearing that, majority of the voters, this is what they wanted. But I think it's just the majority of people that turn out to vote. That's what they wanted, because majority of voters are demographically older white people. But I don't think that younger people and minorities are equally as representative because equally represented, because I don't think that they turn out as much because they just believe that their vote doesn't matter because they're not being represented.
Thank you very much, Jessica, for the thoughts. I'm Joy Cardine. We are holding an open line of sorts for you to react to yesterday's election results, but we are also bringing in scheduled guests throughout the hour, guests from many different perspectives. We will be welcoming in soon Tommy Thompson, a former Republican governor of Wisconsin. And our next caller is Harold in Milwaukee. Hello, Harold.
Hello.
Hi, yes.
Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I just wanted to say about yesterday's referendum. To me, it shows that Americans have short memories, because it seems that we've forgotten about the fact of what George Bush and Dick Cheney did to this country for 8 years. And now we're going back to the very policies that got us into the trouble in the first place. And so with Republicans taking over like that, we're not going to see them reaching across the aisle, because, number one, the Tea Party, which I consider the tail that wags the dog, does not believe in reaching across the aisle to compromise on anything. So we're going to see more gridlock. We're not going to see anything change as far as the Republican Party is concerned.
All right. So you're talking on a national level, though, because also in Wisconsin we have the full government is Republican control.
Exactly. And so what you're seeing in Wisconsin is that with Scott Walker, I mean, it seems that nobody's happy. You know, people don't seem to be happy with you, but you keep leaving him in office. So the only thing I can say to that is that, hey, you're just going to get more of the same. So don't look for anything to change in Wisconsin.
All right. Thanks, Harold. Well, what do you think? What are your thoughts, your feelings, your hopes, your fears on this day after the midterm elections? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking about primarily Wisconsin's midterms, but if you have thoughts on the national level as well, that's fine. As I'm sure you know by now, Governor Scott Walker was reelected, defeating Democratic challenger Mary Burke yesterday. And the governor, in his victory speech, credited his positive message and credited the people in the state of Wisconsin.
The folks in Washington like this top-down approach that's old and artificial and outdated that says the government knows best. We believe that you should build the economy from the ground up. That's new and fresh and organic, and that's what we're going to do.
So is that why Governor Walker won? Let's ask our next guest. Tommy Thompson, a former Republican governor of Wisconsin, former U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, senior fellow at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and the chairman and chief executive of Thompson Holdings. Good morning.
Good morning, and how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much, Governor Thompson, for joining us. To what do you attribute Governor Walker's, third election?
Third election in 4 years. There's no one thing. It's a combination of several things. The economy is getting better in the state of Wisconsin. The unemployment has gone down considerably. The fact of the matter is that local controls have more opportunity than they've ever had before, or in a long period of time. And the state seems to be going in the right direction. You look at all the polling that's been done. The one constant has always been is that the vast majority of the people polled in Wisconsin, Democrats and Republicans alike, would say the state's going in the right direction. When you have that kind of polling, that the state's going in the right direction, you got to realize that the person in charge is going to get some of the credit, if not all the credit. And therefore, just those things alone are going to mean that Scott Walker's got a very good chance of reelection, and then add to the fact that he campaigned very hard. And all of this together makes him a winner. And I don't think there's any one thing that you can point to and say, this caused it, that did. It's the combination. It's the totality. And then on top of that, it was a really strong Republican year. One of the strongest years I've ever seen for Republicans. And when you have a wave like that, no matter what goes on in your individual state, you got the wind at your back a little bit. And in this case, there was a strong wind at the back of Republican candidates.
Yeah, so was that people being frustrated with President Obama or people being frustrated with the government dysfunction at the national level in general?
I think both. I think when you have President Obama, when his popularity is at 40%, and Democrat candidates saying, please don't come into my state, or if you come to my state, I'm going to be busy, I can't be seen with you. Indicates, you know, there's a really, at the grassroots, a really anti-President Obama feeling. And then you cap that off with the fact that Harry Reid is the face of the Congress, much more so than John Boehner, and nothing's getting done, and people are frustrated. The economy is not all that good, still high unemployment across America. You add all that together, and like I said before, it's not one issue. It's the totality of the things put together, and it's the Obama disfavor. It's the dysfunction of the federal government put together, all encapsulated into a very strong Republican wave.
Yeah, well, certainly can't dispute the numbers there. The Republicans took U.S. Senate control. Republicans took just about every office, in Wisconsin except Secretary of State. In terms of statewide offices, let me ask you to react to Governor Walker's message in his victory speech. He was, in essence, saying that Wisconsinites don't want, you know, solutions from the government. Wisconsinites don't want, you know, they don't want handouts from the government. They want, you know, they want to be self-reliant. Is that true?
Sure, it's true. It's true of every state. People, you know, if you ask somebody, do you want to be self-reliant or do you want to be a ward of the state? 90% are going to say, I want to be self-reliant.
Right, you know? But do we not want the government to help those
sure
in need?
Do. Sure we do. We want the government to, work. You know, we want the government to be responsible and efficient and not domineering. And we want the government to function properly. I think, you know, that Scott Walker was talking to a much larger audience than the people in the state of Wisconsin and to his audience at his campaign victory. I think he was talking to the country as a whole, and I think his message resonated to the country as a whole, and it certainly resonated in the state of Wisconsin, evidenced by the fact that he really had a much bigger victory than anybody really had anticipated, or most people had anticipated before the election.
So was he trying to woo the country as a whole to look at him as a presidential candidate?
Well, I think that's way premature. You got Paul Ryan that's looking at it. It's you got Governor Walker certainly has got to take a look at it. Mm-hmm. And he had the platform last night. And, Scott Walker is a very good politician. And he was not going to give up that opportunity to talk to as many people as he possibly could. And he knew it would be covered. So I think it was very smart politics. I think it was a very strong, aggressive, and good message. And I think it's a message that resonates, especially at this time and during these period of time. From all I've told you, you know, the dysfunction of the government plus the unpopularity of President Obama.
We had a caller just a few minutes ago who was concerned about health care and the health insurance industry, wanted some clarity. What's the future of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act after the Republicans' big night?
Well, I think there's got to be changes. I think everybody realizes that it's not going to be repealed. I mean, people that think it's going to be repealed now because the Republicans are control really are not looking at this realistically. Number one, the president's not going to allow a bill to become law that's going to take away his one signature issue. He is not going to allow that to go into law by signing it, so he'll veto it. But secondly, Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act has been in existence for some time. And there's a thing, you know, when the law is the law and the status quo has started and doctors are performing, hospitals are performing under, it's hard to then change. You can't go back to where you were because it's changed. It's moved. The puck has moved. And you got to go where the puck is now. So Republicans have got to make meaningful changes. They got to give patients more control over it. They got to be able to have patients be able to have control over their records and their doctor and not lose those doctors that they want. And so there's meaningful changes that I think the president will sign into law. He knows that the law is not working very efficiently, and we have to. When you deal with 20%, 18% to be perfectly exact, of the gross national product, which goes into health care, you've got to realize this is a dominant issue, and you've got to take care and you've got to try and fix it. And it's not fixed completely yet, and you're going to see both political parties, I think, working on making it more efficient. The Democrats got to realize that Obamacare, the way it is not working properly. And Republicans got to realize that Obama's not going to sign a repeal. So let's sit down, roll up our sleeves, get many good ideas out there that we can fix it and make health care much more efficient, less expensive, and much more patient-centric. And that's what we need to do for health care in America. And we can do it together.
Governor Thompson, a lot of Democrats are very sad today, just as many Republicans are very happy. And I'm wondering if you have some words of consolation or comfort for the Democratic-leaning listeners or residents of the state of Wisconsin about the future.
Well, I think the future is very good. First off, I've been in both positions. I've been a winner, much more so than than losing, but 2 years ago when I lost my race for the U.S. Senate, I was devastated. And you got to realize, you know, it's an election. The people have spoken. So you pick yourself up and you go on. Democrats have a lot of Democrat ideas are needed right now in our country and in our state. And they have got to articulate those ideas, just like the Republicans now have got the position of being the governing party, and they have got to make government work. And the only way to really do this, and the only way I think that this is going to be a successful 2 years, and I think both political parties have got to want this to be successful, is the president is got to reach out, which he already has. He's bringing in the leadership on Friday, which is sort of surprising that quickly, but I think it's a good sign. And as I told in the national news, I was on a national news program last night, I said, I really sincerely believe that the next 2 years are going to be very positive, very constructive, and I think you're going to see a lot being done. I can remember when I was governor my first term, the Democrats controlled both houses of the legislature by overwhelming numbers. And I got a lot of things done by sitting down and saying, you know, I'm the governor. This is how much I can give, and this is where I can go. And Democrat leadership, Kim Collin and the Speaker Loftus came in, and we sat down. We charted an agenda, and we were able to get a lot of things done. And then I put Tim Collin in my cabinet, and we got even more things done. So it was it's a sign of the times. They need to roll up their sleeves and get things done. America spoke last night, not so much being pro-Republican, but as being anti-dysfunctioning governing. And if the Republicans want to maintain the position of being the majority party, which I hope they will, and I'm going to push them to do so, they've got to be the majority constructive party, and they've got to listen to Democrats, and they've got to work with the president, and they've got to reach out and make sure that we get a legislation passed to start solving America's problems. If they do that, they will be in power for a long time. If they don't, the next election in 2 years in 2016 could be an exact opposite to what it is today.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Good luck to you.
Tommy Thompson, a former Republican governor of Wisconsin, former U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, senior fellow at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and the chairman and chief executive of Thompson Holdings. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Well, as you know by now, Governor Walker was reelected last night. Wisconsin also elected a Republican Attorney General, a new Republican Congressman in State Senator Glenn Grothman, winning in the 6th. Three open state Senate seats went to Republicans. It was a big night for Republicans nationally as well. The GOP has taken political control of the U.S. Senate. We have been getting reaction and analysis all morning long on why this happened and what it means, and we are welcoming your reaction too at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let us welcome in our next guest during this roundup of political reaction, and I am happy to have with us Betsy Kippers, who is the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, what is your reaction?
Well, you know, I have to admit we are a bit disappointed, but, you know, I am so proud of our Wisconsin educators and how they stood strong throughout this campaign and really talked about Wisconsin values and the future of public education. And that's really what this was all about.
Yeah. Do you fear for the future of public education now that Governor Walker has a legislature with an even stronger Republican majority?
What we really hope for is that we can work together and find common ground on what is best for our children and the schools of Wisconsin. We've got to figure out how to work together and find that common ground, and that starts with us working strong with our communities and school boards and school districts.
Mm-hmm. Well, many that we talked to today thought that one thing that is likely to happen is an expansion of the school voucher program. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Governor Walker has been very vocal that that is his intent to expand the program. I believe that we should not continue to fund two completely separate and unequal school systems. If we continue to have voucher schools, they should be held to the same accountability standards as our other public schools. And even though he talks that way, he has never been able to be successful in getting school accountability for voucher schools.
Yeah, that is also, though, something that was a bill that was held up in the state Senate, but now with maybe a new, a stronger Republican control in the state Senate, it might pass?
What we want is true accountability, where voucher schools are held to the same standards and accountability that public schools are. That is not any of the bills that we saw coming forward so far.
Yeah. So what message was sent to WEAC with Governor Walker's victory?
I believe that nothing's really different. We've been in this fight for over 3 years. We have continued to stand strong no matter what. Yes, we've been knocked down, and yes, we have pulled ourselves back up by the bootstraps and moved forward once again, and we will continue to do that on behalf of public education and our students.
Yeah, so where does the Wisconsin Education Association Council go from here?
Well, we continue to do what we've been doing. We're going to be the collective voice on behalf of our students in public education. We're going to continue to work on our educator effectiveness to make sure every student has a high-quality teacher in front of them in the classroom, that we set high standards for all students, that we work on improving the conditions of our schools and our teaching and learning conditions.
Yeah. So what is the message you would like to give of the Wisconsin legislature and governor?
I believe the most important thing we have to do is we have to find common ground. We have to work together to move this state forward and heal. Divisiveness is not good. I know we can find common ground on what's best for our students in public education.
Yeah. So what might common ground look like? Is there a specific policy where you think Republicans and Democrats can't agree?
I believe we have to look at things like fair funding for our future. How do we fund our schools so that our rural schools get what they need and our high-need schools get what they need? We need to focus on those areas that we know poverty impacts education. How do we fund that the right way? That's very important. I think that's one place we could find some common ground.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Betsy Kippers is a physical education teacher from Racine. She is president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Well, you get the rest of our hour to react to the election results. How are you feeling? Are you feeling pretty good? Are you happy? Are you feeling kind of blue? Are you feeling lousy? Do you have mixed emotions? You can vote on that question online. That's the online question that we have up on WPR.org/joy. You can just tell us, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Barbara in Fort Atkinson. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Yes. How are you feeling this morning?
Well, I'm a little blue.
Oh.
To be expected, but I'm a little blue, yes. I love Wisconsin's environment, and I think that it's probably endangered. But my comment was both Democrats and Republicans failed to talk about the purpose of government, in my opinion, and also, the funding thing, if taxes continues to be cut, how do Republicans propose to fund government?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, and what is your fear that they're going to do if they, as they promised, cut taxes?
I actually don't know. Mm-hmm. I do believe they're free market proponents and would like to turn a lot of stuff over to private industry. But my opinion is if people like Oshkosh Trucking get government contracts, isn't that government money too?
Thank you very much, Barbara, for your reaction. Let's go to John next in Madison. Hello, John.
Hi, Joy. Just a question to ask of you and your readers to consider for your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Walker with Act 10 3 years ago, and there was a crisis situation then. At least it was sold to us as a crisis. we have an impending budget shortfall coming this December, January. It's going to be several hundred million dollars, maybe billions of dollars. I don't feel the crisis-like atmosphere yet, and I'm wondering who do you presume Governor Walker will target to make up that budget shortfall?
Well,
I don't know that he can necessarily go after teachers again and public employees because he saw the discourse that, and how that ended up. So I'm not sure who he'll be able to turn to take money away from to plug that hole.
Thank you, John. We'll do some future programs on that. The governor has said that projected structural deficit was assumed that there would be no growth in revenue and assumed that state agencies were going to get the increases in funding that they were asking for. But we will do more shows on that to talk about the budget situation in the future. Jim in Cambridge. Hello, Jim.
Hi, I'm disappointed, and I'm more disappointed in the state and national voters than I am in anything else.
Why are you disappointed?
To me, it shows that there's a level of, plain speak, it's the level of stupidity. You know, I'm looking at the referendum, I'm looking at the voting results that come back. First of all, nationally, Americans vote against the president for the disfavor of the president when the gridlock it caused at the federal level is right at the Congress, or is right at the House of Representatives at the Senate and the Senate. Then you come to statewide, we vote for referenda to raise the minimum wage. That passed in Rock County by a huge margin, yet the state and in other places, some other referenda passed that are, you know, more leaning Democratic, yet we vote in a bunch of Republicans. That makes absolutely no sense to me. Either we don't understand how governance works, or we're blind to what you know, who we are voting for and what they represent.
Thank you very much, Jim. Tim in Cumberland is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing? And thank you for taking my call, Joy.
Yes.
Always enjoy listening to you. Mm-hmm. I have a mixed emotions. I found it, one, very interesting about the Senate Democratic Minority Leader for Wisconsin constantly slipping in about how Mr. Walker is gathering funds from outside the state, et cetera. I like what was said before by Tommy Thompson, even though I never voted for him. He finally said something that I really can agree with, and that is they need to sit down and start working together because we not only have gridlock at the federal level, we seem to have gridlock at the state level as well.
How do you suppose we have gridlock at the state level?
Well, for instance, I have to go back to the affordable.
We don't have a lot of time, yeah. But it pretty much with okay. Republicans controlling the state legislature and a Republican governor, anything can pass that they want passed.
Yeah, I know in that respect, but we also need to look at losing all those federal taxes that are going for the Affordable Health Care Act, and they're not, they seem to be controlling it, and so consequently a lot of people are falling through the cracks.
I got it. All right, thank you very much, Tim. Thanks to all of you for your thoughts. We'll continue to provide opportunities for you to ask questions and vent a little bit more or celebrate a little bit more in the days to come. Our election coverage will continue, especially during our 7 o'clock hours all week long. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.